Welcome to the doubled up podcast.
Welcome to the doubled up podcast. Let's go.
Welcome to the Doubled Up Podcast, the weekly podcast talking all things trainers, sneakers, kicks, creps, whatever you call them, wherever you are in the world. I'm Matt, and with me, as he is every single week, is Scott. Scott, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. It's been an interesting week this week. I feel like a lot's gone on.
I mean, the biggest thing that's gone on is, are you feeling a little bit chilly, mate? Because your head's a little bit bare.
Yes. I'm not used to this breeze on my head. Funnily enough, this to a degree stemmed from you coming up to visit.
Yes.
Because we both were talking about getting our hair cut, and I kind of, you were like, I might just kind of buzz cut it. And I was like, I've been thinking about doing that for a little while. I wonder. And then you came up on the Saturday, I booked in for the Monday. And I sat down with my barber and he goes, so what are we going to do? Usual. And I showed him a picture and went, I reckon something like this. And he went, are you sure? And I was, yeah, why not? His hair, it'll grow back. And he was there like, are you sure? I was, yeah. He said, when you first came in, it was a scissor cut only. Like, your hair was long. And now I'm going to shave you. And I was there like, Fuck it. Why not? So he was like, right. We'll start with like a 7 or 8, and we'll just work our way down from there, shall we? Let's not go to. And I was there like, yeah, it's fine.
To put it into perspective, we'll give some of our maybe newer listeners a little bit of perspective here. When we started this podcast, it was obviously right in the middle of the pandemic where no barbers were open, and Scott's gave himself the nickname of the doubled up messiah because his hair was getting so long. He said he looks like Jesus. Since then, Scott has gradually got his hair shorter and shorter and shorter. We went to the Crepe Car Boot in Manchester, in which the barbers there, who were amazing, ended up giving you like a much shorter haircut. And you were like, maybe I should do this more often. And like I said, I came to visit Scott on the weekend just gone. And we were talking about getting our haircut. And yeah, next thing you know, a couple of days after, or literally the day after I leave, I get a photo through on the group chat, like, cut my hair. And it's very, very short. You have gone through quite an evolution here, Scotty boy, from the doubled up messiah to the doubled up thug.
I very much liked having long hair, but to maintain it and to actually make it look good all the time is a pain in the ass, because you've got to put so much product in it to like keep it in place so that it doesn't just kind of look so. There's so many pictures of me at work, like, my ID badge at work, clearly I must have been windswept when I walked in because my hair's like all over the place. It's horrific. And yeah, it was becoming effort. The guys at Crepe Car Boot gave me probably one of the best haircuts I've ever had. And it was still a long haircut. I love him. He's top notch. But those guys did an amazing haircut, and no one's been able to replicate it since. And unfortunately, I can't travel 3 hours up the road to get my hair cut every month. So it just got shorter. And to be fair, when I got it cut, my barber did say, he's like, you're doing the dad cut, aren't you? He's like, you just can't be bothered. You're getting lazy.
Cut.
Just get it off. And I was like, yeah. I mean, growing up, my hair was super short. Like, my hair was cut by a bouncer, because that's where my dad took me for some obscure reason. And so it was always like really short, but must admit, I have it easy, very nice. And people at work have been complimentary, apart from the one teenage girl that I was that was helping out at an event that we were doing. And she just turned around, she goes, can't put my finger on it, but you remind me of somebody. And it took her probably like an hour and a half. And then out of nowhere, she turns around, she goes, you look like the kid from Toy Story. And I was there like, are you telling me I look like Sid from Toy Story? And she was there like, yeah. So now that everyone's caught wind of that at
Oh,
work,
Sid.
everyone's now calling me Sid, which,
Oh,
yeah.
we can make that one stick. We can make that one stick. But we'll move away from your haircut, Sid. And like I said, well, I actually came to visit you this weekend. It was quite nice, wasn't it?
You
We
did.
had a nice little weekend together. I drove up on the Saturday morning, got there nice and early, and you and your lovely wife took me to a local Malvern farmers market. And I was surrounded by so much food, it was difficult to control myself. I almost got giddy. And the good news was is that I was able to follow you and Verity around, and Verity was going to town with the amount of food that she ordered. So I then didn't feel ashamed by ordering also a ridiculous amount of food. I got shown all the best bakery spots. I got shown a apple crumble what kind of an apple crumble
Samosa.
samosa, which was incredible. We ate like kings during the weekend. It was great.
We did. I must admit, yeah, in terms of purchasing said food, yes, you and Verity did purchase a lot of food. However, in terms of eating it, you certainly went through it way quicker than we did. I mean, the one bakery near us, Three Bears, they do amazing, like, kind of cookie dough, brownies, blondies, all flapjacks, all this type of stuff. And they're very rich, they're very sweet. And yeah, normally it's like some of them you can even get through like half a slice before you go, whore. And you just went, now I'm gonna have to straight off before we
Yeah.
got out for dinner. And
I did slightly regret it though when we went out for dinner because yeah, but basically we bought these boxes of six brownies, blondies, cookies, etc. So I think there was like millionaire shortbread blondies. I had s'mores brownies, cookies and cream brownies, a cream egg cookie pie. There was a Bakewell blondie in there as well. And yeah, we got back to yours to sort of drop everything off and drop Verity off before we then went into Cheltenham and watched the football of all things, which was great. But yeah, I decided to have two blondies for the road essentially. And that box didn't last long, Scott. I got home on Sunday sort of morning, early afternoon, made a cup of coffee and ate the rest of the brownies. So I sat there and ate two at yours. I then had another one after dinner for pudding, and then I went home the next day and had three more with a cup of coffee. So I ate like a
I mean,
king.
that's
I
a
ate like a
solid
king that
effort.
weekend. It was great.
That I mean, those depending on which ones you get, like some of them are rich. But yeah, that is a solid effort. That is a solid effort.
I don't fuck about.
However, yeah, clearly not. But yeah, you've been at the basketball and the football all in the space of a couple of weeks. Look at that.
I'm a sporty guy these days, Scott. I'm a sporty guy these days. Talking about sporty guys, we should probably talk about some well, Nigel Farage wearing Adidas, really, shouldn't we? Is that a decent segue,
Sport? Are you saying Nigel Farage is sporty? Jesus
guys?
Christ.
Oh dear.
I
Yeah,
don't know if
we
that's an adjective that's ever been used to describe him.
No, we were having a little think before the podcast, weren't we, Scott, of sort of what we wanted to talk about with the intro segment. And as Adidas fans, we sort of gently brushed over Rishi Sunak wearing the Sambas, which of course has turned into the meme of all memes this year, and debatedly destroyed the Sambas reputation, at least here in the UK. And just when we sort of thought the dust was settling, fucking Nigel Farage decided to put a video up on social media saying that he isn't a Samba guy, he is a Gazelle guy, talking about sort of Nike and being too woke and things like this. And quite frankly, as an Adidas fan, it just made me want to palm my face, hit my head against the wall, and go, surely not, not again. No, this can't happen. I think it's a bad week for Adidas fans, Scott, I will say.
Sure. Honestly, like the whole Rishi Sunak thing was just a nightmare in itself. Like I've never seen such backlash from, I mean, it's one of the most forced, awkward interviews, pictures I've ever seen, and it's just a terrible PR stunt. The fact that he came out and apologized afterward for the to the Samba community, and yeah, and then out of nowhere, I can't decide with this Farage video if it's him taking the piss or again if it's real. I mean, the conspiracy theories that Nike are doing like anti-marketing and getting politicians to wear them, because I can't think of at this moment in time anybody worse, especially in the UK, to wear your products and basically just destroy it. I can't. Is there anybody worse that you could put product on that would get this type of reaction?
No, like it's like right now, we won't turn this into a political podcast, but everything's a bit shit really here in the UK when it comes to politics, let's
Yeah.
be honest. And it's a very sort of testing time, I guess, politically in this country. And that you could have put like anyone else in a pair of Adidas, and it's just. Yeah, like you said, this is the worst, the really the two worst people. I mean, if you really think about sort of where a lot of hate goes towards politically in this country, it goes towards the Tories, and obviously Rishi Sunak is our Tory Prime Minister, and
Yeah.
Nigel Farage hasn't exactly had a great track record with a lot of his political alignments and sort of his beliefs and things like this. So it's not even like it's an up and coming like person of the people politician that everyone's rooting behind. Like that could actually maybe do a little bit of positive for Adidas. I'm struggling to find a name because I don't think there are any sort of up and coming politicians that everyone's really rooting behind in this country. But
Just don't give it to
those two, yeah.
politicians.
No, you shouldn't. But those two people, they're really, like you said, the top of the shit list of who you could give a pair of Adidas Sambas to. Or so I don't think it's giving. I think actually, when you think about what Rishi Sunak wore as an outfit, I mean, he wore a white shirt, black trousers, and or blue trousers, and like white Sambas. Like as far as smart casual goes, like most people would wear that to an office, right? And Nigel Farage's video, they did actually look like maybe his worn gazelles. So I don't think he was gifted a pair of gazelles from
No, I
Adidas or anything like that. But yeah, as far as PR stunts go,
don't.
there's one way
It's
of
so
killing a
bad.
silhouette. And the sad thing is, Scott, we are right around the corner from a Bad Bunny gazelle that looks fucking amazing. And we are right around the
I
corner from a
don't.
size gazelle that also looks amazing. And now it's making me second guess.
People were, yeah, of course there was people selling and burning their Sambas and gazelles, etc. But it's one of those things that if politicians wear them, there's always going to be some sort of, oh, I can't believe this, because it's politics, it's divisive, whatever. But they have never been seen wearing these shoes. I mean, Farage's gazelles are bright blue, and he's wearing a suit. It looks ridiculous on that point. Rishi Sunak has never been seen wearing a pair of Sambas or anything like this. Because if they would, it'd be the type of thing that they'd end up in like GQ, and it'd be like, oh, the Prime Minister is wearing Sambas. This is one of the most awkwardly staged, where it's like, make sure you get the Sambas in the shot. Make sure, pan down a little bit lower. There we go, get this shit. It's just, and the backlash, honestly. Forget politicians. I can't think of anybody like worldwide that you could. Putin, Kim Jong-un, maybe? I can't think, genuinely, it's that level. I cannot
Donald
think of
Trump.
anybody. Well, no, if they put him on Donald Trump, I reckon Adidas sales would go up in America.
Yeah, but that's in America. Yeah.
I know, but this, I cannot, honestly, it is just Adidas's PR team is must be having a meltdown in the UK right now, like, because this is not something they can do anything about.
We're also the
It's
type of country
just,
that are stubborn enough to be like, we're not doing it anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're
yeah.
the type of stubborn bastards that would be like, oh, if he's wearing it, I just won't wear it then. And honestly, like for me, my white and black Sambas are my by the front door throw on to like wear to the shops. And there's been a couple of times where I've run over to the shops to get something. I've genuinely been mindful. I've been walking past people like, do you reckon they think No, surely not. Like, I've honestly been like wary of like, do I look like a Rishi Sunak fan wearing these fucking shoes? And that's bad when it happens like that. I mean, I think it's just the black and white ones. When I've worn my Offspring Sambas, I haven't batted an eyelid because obviously it's different. It feels like they're a bit special. But the classic white and but the Panda Samba, as they've been sort of called now, I'm struggling, Scott. I'm struggling.
But the thing is, it's one of them that there will be people cheering this because there will be Nike diehards that are obviously very sick of seeing Sambas about that are cheering the fact that he's wearing them in. But it is, I mean, one of my directors is she actually has a lot of Adidas shoes, like casual shoes, like Gazelles, Sambas, Campuses. And me and her have kind of got bonded a little bit over kind of our love of Adidas shoes. But she's also very politically motivated and is very open about it. And she did actually come over to me the one day, well, must have been like only about a day after the Sunak thing. And she goes, "Scott, am I allowed to wear these now?" And I was there like, well, that's not something I can say. But
I don't have the
honestly,
expertise to tell you that.
I was just there like, look, I'm very well up on my politics. I'm very into my shoes, obviously. Yeah, this is not something I really want to get into because this is a fucking shambles. Yeah, if anybody can think of anybody that would be worse, because at the moment I can't think of anyone that would do this much damage, like genuinely. It's
No.
just silly.
Well,
It really is.
moving on from people that are doing damage to a brand's reputation, quite the opposite has happened with New Balance. We've seen the New Balance 1000 releasing sort of gradually over the last sort of couple of months, right, Scott? We had the Joe Freshgood pair that everyone was saying sort of reminded them of the Skepta 97 as sort of the main release, which we have seen in the past. Every time New Balance bring back one of these silhouettes, they always start with a collaboration. If we think about the 550, we had ALD, first of all. If you think about the 2002R, we had Salehe Bembury. If you think about the 327, we had Casablanca. If you think about the 992, you had sort of your Jounds and things like this, or Joe Fresh Goods as well. Every time they sort of bring back one of these big silhouettes, they always start with a big collaboration to really sort of get the ball rolling. And the big collaboration this time around was obviously Joe Freshgoods, but they always then follow up with an inline model. And we have seen the unveiling of the sort of most recent inline version of the New Balance 1000. And here in the UK, what has gotten a lot of people sort of hyped for this is it was Dave, Santan Dave, that decided to unveil the shoe and really announcing that he was a recent brand ambassador, the latest ambassador to join Team New Balance, which is only making their roster stronger and stronger and stronger. We saw the sort of GR colorway release that was sort of a silver overlay with the sort of black toe box and sort of white sus cream midsole. Quite a nice looking colorway, to be perfectly honest. It looks like a mesh shoe that doesn't look like a mesh shoe, and therefore my brain isn't quite computing whether it likes this GR or it doesn't. I know that there is a sort of pink, green, and cream pair floating around that I think is an ALD collaboration that I am absolutely smitten with. I think it's so cool. But what do we think about Santan Dave bringing out the New Balance 1000?
From a UK point of view, brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, I think they've got a lot of strong people on their roster, but like British, like
A lot of it's
Dave
American,
is,
isn't it?
and David, like, is they're cool. You know, obviously you've got like Amine, you've got Action Bronson, you've got Joe Freshgoods, you've got
Salehe
Salehe Bembury,
Bembury.
kind of on the other side that are
Even like
doing
a
really cool
Jack
stuff.
Harlow as well.
And I think Dave. I mean, oh, there's gonna be some advert with Dave and Jack Harlow, aren't there? They've got songs together. There's gonna be some. That would have been
Probably.
a really good time, like music video for them. But I just think, the fact for people on the other side, they probably won't mean that much because I feel like Dave is, while obviously Dave is a massive artist, he's definitely like we as we we've he's one of our own, and you know. He's awesome and he's great. But yeah, I think from a UK perspective, I think they've got a really, really good member. Like, I can't really think of many people that I would want. I'm pretty sure we've mentioned it previously, probably many episodes ago, about if we wanted to see kind of collaborators and artists who we'd want. I think Dave was probably mentioned as somebody that, you know, as a face, would be very good. So yeah, fair play. I think actually the shoe kind of suits it as well. Like, it suits that style. Personally, I think the shoe looks utter shite, but
Oh wow, okay.
it's I don't, no, I'm it, as I said, the Joe Freshgoods, the pink one, is it's the colorway just makes it, it's lovely. But this, I saw Prozac wearing a pair on his story
The
today.
darker
Oh.
pairs are skating a fine line between roadman shoe or cool shoe. Like, this is a pair that I think you could see in a full New Balance tracksuit and be like, okay, that's a little bit more of sort of like a roadman look. But then at the same time, I can also see someone like Prozac making this look like a really, really cool shoe. So it does sort of skate that fine line to me. The lighter colorways look a little bit sort of nicer on the eye. I mean, if we're comparing like the Joe Freshgoods, you didn't like the black, but you like the pink. If we're looking at this, you don't really like this. But I don't know if you've seen, like I said, that the pair that has basically the pink midsole, outsole, and then it goes up to a bit of green, and then it goes up to a bit of cream. I think that's supposed to be a Rumour Day
I
or
know the
D
one you
collab.
mean. Yeah,
I
no, I know the one you
absolutely
mean.
love that shoe. I don't know what it is because it's mad, but I love
That
that
doesn't
so
even
much.
that one, that pink one doesn't even look
It doesn't look like the same shoe.
like the other. No, and that's the thing. I just can't bring myself. I'm a bit tall on that ALD rumored one, but yeah, I don't like the silhouette of this shoe, especially in the dark, shiny colors. It's just not for me in the slightest. I can see where it fits. I see the style, etc., but it's not for me. And like I say, I think Dave with that shoe is a really good mashup. But I think if you'd have been like, oh, by the way, here's Dave, and he's wearing a 574, you'd go,
Huh?
that's a bit odd. This shoe fits. It
Fits the
fits.
aesthetic,
It
doesn't it?
works. So yeah, fair play. Like I say, I love it. I'd love to see like an official Dave collab, because you know he's very artistic, and I imagine he'd come up with something very, very cool. So yeah, even though he's been rapping about Jordan 4s or Jordan 1s, it turns out he's a New Balance guy. Who'd have guessed?
Hey. Well, we basically just spent the last segment talking about the news anyways, but we should probably move into our first main segment, and that is, of course, shoes rounds. Every single week, we spend a little bit of time looking back at some of the biggest news stories that have hit the world of sneakers and give our thoughts and opinions. This week, it is Scott taking shoes rounds. So without further ado, I'll pass over to Scott for shoes rounds.
Thank you kindly. So last week, Nike decided to tease a little bit of a new project that they've got coming. They posted up a video on their sneakers app, presenting cult classics. Quite a cool video, kind of in cinema inspired kind of video. With yeah, the old school kind of Nike presents, and yeah, and then as they walk through, you've got all these posters unveiling these yeah, cult classic shoes that turns out are part of this kind of re-release type projects, where they're going to be looking at releasing several kind of fan favorite sneakers from back in the day, and yeah, it's got a lot of people very excited because the shoes that are have been unveiled or teased, shall we say. You have the Veneer Dunk Low, which actually has released today. You've got the Ultraman Dunk Low, you've got the Linen Air Force One Low, and a grail for some people. You have the Ultramarine 180s, you've got the Bright Concord 180s, Varsity Green Dunk Low, and Ivory Snake Air Force One Low, and the Reverse Duck Camo Air Max 90s. Yeah, as confirmed on the Sneakers app, the cult classic liner will launch exclusively via Sneakers and its neighborhood retail partners across the globe. Not sure what that would entail in the UK. I can't. I want to say Foot Patrol might be one of their neighborhood ones, but I'm not. Don't quote me on that. But yeah, the distribution, just because of that, says that it's going to be reasonably limited. Whether that's the case or not, remains to be seen. But also, they're meant to be other kind of coveted stars that will be returning in upcoming seasons. So it turns out this cult classics is not just for now. This is a project that they're going to be looking at pushing out, for the foreseeable future, which, I mean, it's an interesting project. But yeah, there's certainly some big hitting shoes in there that a lot of people are getting very, very excited about.
Yeah, I think this whole story is really, really interesting because if you actually look at this selection of shoes, these are shoes that we've known are going to be releasing this year anyways. And I know it seems like almost a really fickle sneakerhead thing to say, but do you not feel like I already knew all of these shoes were releasing, but as soon as you give it a fancy name like Cult Classics, I'm now even more excited about it, and I don't really understand why. Like, we've already known that the Ugly Duckling pack is releasing this year. Like, we've already had the Plums release. Like I said, Day of Recording, the Veneers are releasing. We already know the Ceramics are releasing later on this year. Like, you and I, Scott, have been talking for ages about the Air 180s, that I've been really, really excited to get hold of a pair of the Ultramarines. So these aren't This isn't a new lineup of shoes. There are a couple on there that have surprised me. For example, the Reverse Duck Camo was a pair that I think my style back in 2020, when that pack released, that was when I was really into my ZX and I wasn't looking anywhere other than ZX. And actually, now I sort of regret not buying that pair. The fact that they're going to have a reissue, I think, is really, really cool. And I like the fact that with this Cult Classics, I like the fact that it's seasons. I like the fact that it's bringing back, funnily enough, Cult Classics, but it does seem to be that they're picking shoes that do really have that cult following. We've spoken to a number of guests over the years that absolutely love a 180, and it's a shoe that doesn't really get much love. If we think about the dunk hype that's taken over since 2020, that original sort of 2020 release of the Veneers was a myth. I remember really trying to get the Veneers during that period and just really couldn't get hold of them to save my life. So I think they're doing a really good job of picking specific colorways and specific shoes that really do have that need or want, that demand within our space. And I think this is a really, really cool idea. Again, I'm not surprised with the shoes they're using because of the fact we've already known for months that they're going to be using, that these shoes are going to be releasing. But as I said, you chuck a tagline on it like Cult Classic Collection, and now I'm hooked. Like, before I was umming and ahhing, do I have to get the Ultramarines? Like, do I jump on the Ultramarines on release day, or do I wait to see if they go in the sale? Like, now I know that I'm probably gonna have to jump on them. And what I've also noticed, Scott, with some of the upcoming releases, at least the dates, shout out Kaf as always, but he's been putting some of these release dates on his story in advance. Today, we're recording this episode on Thursday, the 25th of April, and the Veneer has released. And I'm sure I saw on Kath's story that the 25th of May, the Air 180 is releasing. So I wonder if this is going to be sort of like a monthly 25th of the month type thing where it drops towards the end. I'm not going to complain because the 25th of the month's payday for me. So perfect time for a pair of shoes to release. But I might just be looking into it too much that the Veneers dropped today and the Ultramarines dropping next month. But that could be a cool little way of whenever they come up with these packs, sometimes it can feel as if you're dropping all of them at once. So if they do make this sort of a monthly release, I think that could be a really cool thing that people look forward to.
Definitely, I think that it'd be a cool way of doing it. We could probably do with a bit more of kind of what the cult classics is and the
What's the
structure of it,
criteria?
because because I think they are all cult classics. I mean, like I said, the linens, for example, for people, some people, that is a grail of a shoe. I think, like I say, cult classics, it's a good tagline, it's a good program, but it would be good. Okay, well, actually, what is this program? Is it just a load of shoes?
Are we
Because
just
there is
retroing
a
stuff?
Yeah, because this is there is a problem that I can kind of envisage with this, and for some it might be, for some it might not. But you've got a lot of shoes there, some very big shoes, some bigger than others. I mean, the Veneers, it falls into that category of, yes, a bit of a, it is a cult classic, but I mean, it released today and they're still basically a full size run sale sneakers. So Is it that wanted? Is it that limited? I don't know. But if you, it says and more, so there's clearly more to come. I know that Kaffa's teased the Warhawk 90, which is like obviously a huge pair. But if you do just release all of these very good shoes, don't get me wrong, obviously part of it is like it's special because they haven't been released. You know, these are shoes that we don't get retroed very often. If you just blitz them and retro them all almost immediately, when you do get around today's like Air Max Day and all this, like you're really limiting what
You're
you
not
can
leaving a lot in
do.
the locker, are you?
No, because this is basically like this is shooting your shot. This is kind of, you know, you're letting it all go in one go because it is it's a lot. And if this is just the first part and there is another part and they do exactly the same amount of shoes and they're still doing all of a sudden people are going to go, oh, okay, great. You know, imagine you if you had like Bacon's, Linens, Duck. Imagine if they put the original Duck camos. Obviously, you got your 180s. If they decided to put some like Pater Air Max retros, whatever. Like if you just did that all in one go, people are going to go, oh, it's great, but. All
Space
of a
it out a
sudden,
bit.
all of a sudden, kind of the shine gets taken off it because it's, you know, it's the way it's done. I think it's cool, but I'll be interested to see how it, what happens because it is a bit of a weird one where they've gone Cult Classics program and then nothing else, and then they've released the veneers already, but there's no mention of Cult Classics to do with the release. It's just here's the veneers. So yeah, interesting. I'm not adverse to it, and I think obviously. The shoes they've picked are very good. I think I'm quite partial to the Bright Concord 180s. Don't think it's my style necessarily, but I do
No.
quite like them. If there's a pair for me on here, it's the Reversed Camo 90s. That's the pair. That is, yeah, that is a get a pair that I agree with you. I wish I had kind of probably gone a bit harder for when they released. It's just one of them, but I'm assuming from your point of view, it's going to be the Ultramarine 180s.
Absolutely. I really like the Ultramarine. I'd really like the Bright Concord as well. I think the 180 is one of those shoes that whenever they sort of re-released 180s again, I just didn't. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I've been the biggest 180 fan forever and ever and ever and ever. It was literally just sort of testing out the waters with a really cheap pair of Bacon 180s on eBay and getting the shoe and going, oh no. And realizing that I really liked the Bacon 180. And that then led for me buying the size pair. And now it's one of my favorite sort of Air models, Air Max models. So to have an opportunity to buy something like the Ultramarine and even the Bright Concords, they're both classic colorways, hence being a cult classic. So they're definitely ones that are sort of on my list. It really depends though on the limited nature of them and whether they go on sale and things like this. Like you mentioned, Scott, today we had the veneers drop and they have a full size run on sneakers. They're sold out on, say, Offspring and some of the other websites, but there's a full size run on sneakers. That in comparison to the Plum that is part of the Ugly Duckling pack that basically sold out everywhere when it released. Maybe it's just that the veneer being a bright colorway maybe isn't as popular as something like the Plum or even the ceramics that will be dropping a little bit later on in the year. So I think it's really going to depend. But yeah, for me, I've been saying about how much I want the 180 since we had the whiff that the 180 was coming back. So I'm definitely looking forward to those.
Yeah, definitely. Good things to look forward to. But on that's the news. So we'll move on to our second segment, double up, double down. When we look at the upcoming releases for the next week, we pick a double up something we like, a double down something we dislike, and a sleeper pick something that we think will get a little bit lost amongst the hype. So on that, I'll pass over to Matt for double up, double down.
Sam, actually. So, double up this week. Feel like there's only really one shoe to pick, Scott, for most people. However, I have a sneaking suspicion that you are going to poo-poo this shoe because of the silhouette that it is. The shoe that I am picking is the Air Jordan 4 military slash industrial blue. At this point, I don't feel like I need to describe the shoe because most people, if I say military blue Jordan 4, know what we're talking about already. The military blue Jordan 4 was part of the original colorways that released for the Jordan 4 back in 1989, but sort of has its weird fit within those original fours because you had obviously the white cements, you had the black cements or the breads, and then you also had the fire reds, right? Which of course all worn by Michael Jordan, because during that era you basically had a rule where your trainers or your sneakers had to match your team's colors. Now, of course, releasing a white and blue Jordan 4 doesn't really match with the Bulls colorways. But yeah, the shoe itself has had a little bit of a weird past. It was retroed on the same day, I do believe, as the Yeezy 2 as well. So obviously, sort of got a little bit overshadowed from that. But this year's Jordan 4 or this year's military slash industrial blue is supposed to be the closest to the original pair. A lot of people over the last X amount of months have been sort of maybe pointing out that the blues used seem to be a little bit different. It's a little bit of a darker blue in comparison to the lighter blue from the previous retro in 2012. And but that is because of the fact that it is a closer version to the original. Now the shoe is supposedly releasing on Saturday, the 4th of May, and sole supplier have it at £190. So it is towards that upper level of sort of Jordan pricing. But Scott, what do you think about the military blue Jordan 4? I know that you are normally someone that slanders a 4 because of its lack of comfort. What do we think about this particular shoe?
People have made me sick of this shoe.
I knew you would come out with something like this.
All I've seen is people arguing. Is it industrial blue? Is it military blue? It's fucking blue. Deal with it. And not only that, it's a good colorway. If you like a Jordan 4 and you like blue, there you go. I think in terms of the fit and everything, it's meant to be similar to the SB Force in terms of if it's the same level and it's the same comfort, then it's going to be a good shoe. I honestly, people have gotten so up about it, and then they go, "Oh, well, it's not like other military." No, it. And then people put pictures up and go, "Well, if you look at the original images, honestly, it's just." Yeah, this shoe isn't for me. I'm not a fours guy. It's fine. If anything, I do like this shoe. I do. I'm because of if it's the same specs as the SB4, I'm tempted. I would be tempted to buy this shoe. I think price point is just high. It's just way too high. But yeah, I'm not mad at this shoe. I actually quite like it. It's just Yeah, just not one that I would be purchasing. But Jesus Christ, people, sort yourselves out. It's a good shoe. Just accept and move on.
I don't feel like I have anything to add to that, to be perfectly honest. I knew that I knew by picking this as the double up for the week, I was going to get some sort of rant, but I didn't know whether I was going to get a rant about quality and comfort for fours. Turns out we've had a rant about the color blue. So either way, I'm happy about it, Scott.
This makes sense though. Like we said when the SB4s came out, you've made the SB4 really, really, you've made a four better. If you've made a four better, make all of your fours the same way. And they have. So fair play.
Yep,
I'll disagree
absolutely.
with it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, moving on from our double up to a double down, and yeah, we've been on a little bit of a New Balance wave recently, Scott, haven't we? We've been singing the praises of New Balance, so I thought I'd just sort of like level things out a little bit and throw a New Balance as the double down for this week. But truth be told, it's also because of the fact that this week just has a lot of really good shoes coming out, so it's actually really difficult to pick a really sort of horrible, ugly shoe. There's a shoe that is being left off of this list this week that a lot of people are going to be very, very sort of excited for, but we've already sort of slammed that shoe a little bit. And I thought I didn't want to be so mean as to put it as the double down this week. We are, of course, talking about the Travis Scott Jumpman Jack. I wasn't quite mean enough to put it as the double down this week, Scott. So I went with New Balance. I went with the New Balance Warped Runner in the Licorice with Rosewood colorway. The Warped Runner is a silhouette that has sort of confused me a little bit. I've seen it in some colorways and really, really liked it. Other colorways, not so much. I really, really like the cream colorway with the black New Balance logo. But this one, the pink just sort of throws me off. If you look at this shoe, it's got sort of a cream suede upper with pink or sort of licorice rosewood mesh underlays. You then got a big black New Balance logo on the side, and then a again sort of rosewood midsole black outsole. This combination of sort of pink and cream, even though I was just singing its praises with the upcoming New Balance 1000s, for me just doesn't really look right on this Warped Runner. So for the people that like this silhouette, they're not going to hate it. People that like this silhouette will like this shoe. But for me, it's a combination of a 50-50 silhouette with a little bit of a weird colorway in there.
Yeah, this silhouette's rubbish. I'm not a fan. Never have been. The colorway is fine. Like, it's not a bad colorway,
Oh,
but yeah,
dear.
it doesn't work on this.
Yeah,
For whatever reason,
exactly. It just looks weird. It looks
it
misplaced.
yeah, you know, it's the type of colorway, like, add a bit of brown on there and people would be calling it a Neapolitan colorway. But there's been lots of Neapolitan colorways that have been done very, very well. This is not one of them. So yeah, I completely agree. I think this is a very poor execution of this shoe. And I don't see this shoe about. I don't really see people wearing it that much. I don't know what it's like in
I
London,
do.
but I don't see this model. I'd see it, we were saying that when we were out in the football, like the 9060 has really out of nowhere has really taken off. But yeah, I don't see this shoe about that much. And also, I hate licorice. So if it's got that, if that's the name of it, I'm probably going to go no. I've
I
bad
like licorice.
flashbacks to licorice. Oh, yeah.
I like
Bad
licorice.
flashbacks.
Well, let's move on to a shoe that hopefully you like a little bit more, Scott. I feel like I've not impressed you with this lineup so far. We are going with the Pata times Nike Air Huarache 20Y24. Now, this to me, I might be completely mistaken, Scott, but given that it is 20Y24, I think this is a new silhouette, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Either that. Someone's probably going to go, oh, can't believe they didn't know that, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, it's absolutely fine. Reading from the Nike sort of website, the sneakers website, it says the Air Huarache 20Y24 used the foundation as a springboard. We took two fan favorites, the Huarache and the Pegasus, and merged them together to create a shoe that bridged the gap between performance and lifestyle. Now, the shoe that I'm picking is the upcoming Pata collaboration, but I'm picking specifically the black and cool gray colorway. There are two colorways of this shoe. One is, like we said, this sort of darker colorway, but you also have a slightly lighter colorway that has sort of yellow and blue on it. I just think this black colorway looks a little bit sort of sleeker. The shoe itself has sort of these black leather overlays towards the shoe, almost creating like a bit of a cage around the shoe. It's then got this sort of heavy duty strap instead of laces that goes up the center of the shoe. It's got gray mesh on the toe box and this sort of patterned black and red, or sort of almost gray and red pattern on the tongue. You have a sail midsole, black outsole, and the shoe itself is releasing on the 2nd of May for £145. I really like this silhouette, Scotty boy. It's a little bit sort of almost gawp core, but I kind of like it. It's a bit ACGE. This is a long
These aren't
pause. I don't
good.
like it. What?
These aren't good. These aren't good.
Oh, Scott,
No.
what are you doing to
No.
me?
This is the better of the two colorways. That yellow one is appalling.
What?
But yeah, they're not good. I what I can't the Pegasus outsole, very comfortable. Fair enough. Good choice. I'm struggling to see where I see some Hirachi aspects to it,
What do you mean you see some
but
Hirachi aspects? It's literally, it's got a sock liner. That's a Hirachi sock liner.
yeah, I get that. But like the strap across, the caging and stuff is not something that I've seen on many Hirachis. Like, there's a couple of obviously variations, but on a say, if you are thinking of like a traditional Hirachi, it's not the same. Maybe there's some aspects on the Pegasus and some of the running lines that they've incorporated that I'm obviously missing. But yeah, I've seen some people that got these early and they looked meh. Like I say, the yellow's considerably worse than these. This is by far the better of the two. But
I kind of like the
yeah,
yellow.
it's not, it doesn't, yeah, these really don't do it for me.
Wow.
Yeah, no, not at all. I can see this shoe being a bit of a cult classic, so to
Ooh.
speak. Going, I think this is one of those that in years' time people might go, "Do you remember the this?" And you know, but I mean, this isn't going to have the moment that other shoes have had. So I for me, this is not. I don't like it.
Well, seeing as you poo-pooed over all of my selections, Scott, let's see what you've got to bring to the table this week. Scott, do we have a steal of the week this week?
Hey, I like the four. I said I like the four. No,
All right,
good.
okay.
It's still a really expensive shoe. But yeah, I do like the four. But anyway, steal of the week. This week, we are going to Offspring. I realize that most of the steals of the week have been from size for like the past couple of months. But we're going to Offspring. They've got a lovely 50% off sale and currently with an extra 20% off as well. And the pick this week is the Adidas Centennial 85 Low Trainer from the Consortium Cup competition. £130 down to 60. They have a size run from 4 all the way up to 12. So yeah, literally full size run. This shoe is, we said this, it's a really nice shoe. It's probably the weakest out of the three in, you know, from the ZX, the Samba. And that's not because this is bad. It's just because the ZX and the Samba are so good. But yeah, I mean, you can pick these up for 60 quid, which is an absolute bargain. The quality of them is outrageous. Yeah, I mean, it's a great shoe, great price. Yeah, a very tempting one for us, let alone you, any listeners out there that yeah, kind of been waiting for these.
Yeah, there was a moment earlier where I completely forgot that we do a Steal of the Week segment. Scott sent me a link through to these, and I thought he was sending them for me to buy, and I added them to my cart and realized, oh wait, no, this isn't Scott telling me to buy this shoe. This is Scott telling me that this is what we're going to talk about during the podcast today. So it did really, really confuse me because I've sort of touched upon in previous episodes that I now have the Samba, I now have the ZX, and as soon as you get two out of three in a pack, all of a sudden there's part of our weird sneakerhead brain that goes, oh, the third would be quite nice to add to this. And then I'm sure the final pair is going to come out and I'll go, oh, having the fit, I might as well have, if I've got three, I might as well. It's that sort of that reel, isn't it? Or that meme where it's like, I've got one. Well, it needs a friend, so I'll get it a friend. And what happens if they get sick and tired of each other? So I get another one, and then it's, oh, if I've got three, I might as well get four. And that's sort of our sneakerhead brain when it comes to this. So yeah, really, really good steal of the week this week, Scott. Well, that moves us on nicely to our final segment of the episode, and that is, of course, the Doubled Up Podcast, Triple Up. So it is that time of the week where I present Scott with three random shoes. Simply all I'm going to ask Scott to do once I've presented each of these shoes is for him to blind rank them 1, 2, 3. Now, we normally have a theme for this segment, and seeing as this week one of the most anticipated Jordan 4s in a long time is releasing, I thought, Scott, just to sort of piss you off even more, the theme this week is Jordan 4s, your favorite. Oh dear. So in a moment, I'm going to present Scott with one of the three shoes. He's going to blindly rank it 1, 2, 3. I'll present the second, third, so on and so forth. So Scott, are you ready for your first Jordan 4?
So enthusiastic.
Oh, the sails have really been taken out of your wind since Double Up, Double Down, haven't they? Jesus Christ. Well, the first Jordan 4 that you have to rank is the Union Times Jordan 4 Off Noir. Ooh.
I really like that four.
Ah, there we go. You're bitching and moaning about fours, and I've just said a
Yeah,
good one.
no, I like that four. It's one of my favorite fours. There's been some good ones, so I'm gonna put it in the middle. There, you know, in terms of fours, there has been some good fours. But yeah, I'll put it in the middle, and we'll see what
Okay,
happens.
number two. Well, the next Jordan is going to be, of course, the Off-White times Jordan 4 in the Sail colorway.
Yeah. Very good. Like that one.
Now you're eating your words, aren't you?
Gonna put that top.
Oh, okay, top.
I can't. That was the one that came to mind where I was like, I wonder. And that's a shoe that I know we said, is it as good as we thought it was at the time? And I think the more I see it, it is a pair that I look at and I go, it's just so clean. So yeah, I'll put it top. It would be between the Unions and them as one of my favorites. So yeah, we'll put it top.
The more I see it, the more I think it looks like a custard cream, and I actually like it less. Hey, it's a very, very popular Jordan 4, so I understand why you've put it top. For our third pick, Scotty boy. Now, I feel like the majority of our listeners will agree with your order, apart from one of our listeners. And that is, of course, our non-executive or non-creative director, or whatever the fuck he calls himself these days.
Oh, is it the Fears?
The baddest bitch in Barrow, the Jordan 4 Fears.
Burnham.
But
Don't even put them on the list. Don't even put them on a list.
oh dear.
Like them Black Cats, bin them off. Bin them
Wow, and
off.
the
The
Black
fat.
Cats are getting stray bullets.
They don't even. It's not even straight at this point. I've been going for them right from the get go. Like people are paying like 500 quid for a pair of triple black Jordan fours. They need their head seen too.
Oh dear.
It's just ridiculous. To be fair, the Fears aren't bad. The problem I have is they've kind of done pairs that are very kind of similar, but also really not at the same time. And I think it's detracted away. It's a good pair. Don't get me wrong, but by far. The Sail, the Off-White, and the Unions are better, quite comfortably. Yeah, I'd even put the Industrial Blues higher than the Fears.
Oh,
Just throw that one.
so would I, to be perfectly honest. But as soon as I was doing a theme of four, see, a theme of fours, our very good, again, if a lot of these might feel like inside jokes, long-term listeners will understand. But our obviously good friend Ryan, he has always said that his favourite Jordan of all time is the Fear Four. So I thought if I'm going to do a four themed, I might as well at least appease one of our friends. But
Yeah,
Scott
we all have
instantly.
favorites.
Scott instantly negated it and put it last and said to burn it. So, Ryan, he said that, not me.
Yeah, I mean, we all have favorites. We all have shoes that we love and we enjoy that other people might not. And this is just one of those moments. It's absolutely fine. People are allowed to be wrong.
People are allowed to be wrong. Well, just to quickly recap, number one, obviously, you put the Off-White Jordan 4. Number two, you put the Union Off Noir. And number 104, you put the Fear 4. Scott, do we have a dad joke to end the week with?
Oh, I just love winding people up. Yeah, we do. I just ate a frozen apple. Hardcore. Be fair, a frozen apple would be horrible to eat.
Scott, I've actually just got quite an important news story.
Oh, don't tell me that someone else is wearing a pair of fucking Sambas.
No. An actress has just died.
What?
Reese.
Reese who?
Fuck, you ruined my joke. Fuck you,
What?
Scott.
What? Who's Reese?
You're supposed to say, I'm supposed to say Reese, you're supposed to say with a spoon, and I'm supposed to go, no, with a knife. And that's how the joke goes. But
Oh,
you
wow.
just said Reese who? You ruined my joke.
Sorry, it wasn't a knock knock. That's terrible. That's terrible. That's
You're gonna have to edit out of the podcast
this
now
is
because now I've I try I
the
try
one. Okay,
I try I
I'm
tried
keep
to
it
match you dad joke by dad joke and you completely ruined my punchline.
it's the problem. Unless you know how to respond, yeah, it's not very good. It doesn't work. You're very reliant. This is, it's been
There's
a good
a lot
double
that goes
axe,
on with that
but
joke. There's a lot that goes on with that joke. Yeah. There's going to be someone, there's going to be people listening to this that'll be, they'll be shouting down their headphones going, no, not, they'll be going to be Googling Reese Witherspoon now.
I
But,
genuinely thought you were about to tell me someone had died. Like
no.
I was concerned as to who it might be. There was a bit of me that the day that Jim Carrey and Jack Black get announced as they're no longer with us, I'm going to be very sad. And I for a second I thought that might be the moment, especially seeing as I'm meant to be going to see Tenacious D and Jack Black in a couple of weeks. So that would have made me very sad.
Oh, I'm sorry that I've made you sad temporarily there, Scott. But thank you for ruining
Shocking.
my joke. And thank you for everyone else for listening to the Doubled Up Podcast. Remember, if you like this episode, leave us a 5-star rating and review and share the podcast with your friends and family. Make sure you follow at Doubled Up Podcast on Instagram. Use hashtag Doubled Up Pod to be featured on the Instagram page. You can find me, Matt, at Matt underscore Sibley underscore on Instagram. I forgot my Instagram handle then, forgot my surname. Scott, tell the
Wow.
listeners where they can find you.
You can find me at underscore sneaker teacher.
Speak to you next time, guys. Goodbye. And as always, peace and love.